Our friends from Perth, the Wildcats. Now, talk about teams that maybe are due for a championship, and I'll get to Melbourne a little bit later. We spoke about it a bit last week. I feel like they're a team that's missed a couple of opportunities. Do you put the Perth Wildcats in the same boat since their last championship in 2020 was won in a boardroom?
you really have a death wish about these guys, don't you? I mean, the Red Army is going to be on your case, my friend.
It's nothing new.
Oh, my goodness.
It's fact. It's fact.
It is fact.
Shots fired. My goodness.
They won the series 2-1. They won the three games. They would have won the series anyway, but the facts are facts. They won that championship in a boardroom. The last time that they've won it on the floor was 2019, and for a team that's had Bryce Cotton on it for a long, long time, you do wonder, well, are they a little bit light on in the trophy cabinet?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they've had their issues with a lot of stuff off the floor and a lot of stuff on the floor. And, you know, the Red Army, I kind of feel like is getting impatient with them, you know. And I think you mentioned, is it about time? And I think there's enormous pressure on this team and enormous pressure on Johnny Riley to get it right and to get to a grand final. They probably should have gotten – they ran into, you know, the fairy tale, the Jack Jumpers, that it was just meant to be last year. But they probably feel like that was one that got away, that they should have been at least in a championship series. So there's definitely pressure on. There's pressure on Denny Mills. There's pressure on now the new majority owner of the club. Who's a long-term Wildcat fan, which I love because it means his heart's in the right place. So, and I love who they've recruited. I think they've recruited extremely well. I think Dylan Windler is giving me serious Chris Gent vibes. You know, those of you who remember the great man in the pinstripes for North Melbourne back in the day and sort of that mid-90s era, sort of left-handed, athletic as all get out, long. He's got the long arms, and he's got his wingspan, I looked it up, is 6'10". And this guy's like a 6'7" forward. Just put up some ridiculous scoring and rebounding numbers in the G League and has played with Atlanta recently. So, you know, he's got that NBA pedigree. He's going to be huge for them. A sneaky, smart signing, I thought, was Christian Doolittle coming back. Really like his game. Understated, but very effective. Elijah Pepper is an absolute gunner out of UC Davis. And then Ihsan Almansah, who I think of the next stars, the incoming next star crop, has been the one that so far has really impressed me. This kid's got talent, man, and he's got the physical attributes. Maybe not the standout attributes of an Alexander Saar, who, of course, wound up the number two pick in the recent NBA draft, but certainly a guy that has a lot of potential and can, you know, will get some minutes, I feel, in this lineup that, you know, already includes. Look, I know people say, there's a lot of people say he's the greatest import of all time. I still have him behind Leroy Loggins. Primarily because Leroy Loggins played more D than Bryce Cotton did, and Leroy Loggins was every bit the killer that Bryce Cotton is and every bit the talent. So I just think, you know, we do I'm holding a candle for the old guys, and I always have. I'm a history buff, as everybody knows, and I love the history of the league. But having said that, yeah, I mean, Cotton's, you know, if he's not 1A, he's 1B or 2 at the most. Just an extraordinary competitor and certainly one of the greatest we've ever seen. No doubt about that. And as long as he's there and motivated, they're always going to be a threat. And again, you know, that I think guys like Hyrum Harris and Benny Henschel and Michael Harris, and they're all going to be guys that will give this club decent minutes. It's ultimately, I think it's going to come down to, you know, can they defend at a high level? They haven't really done that in the last 4 or so years. So they've got to get back to that. That's kind of their DNA, as we know. They're, you know, the greatest franchise in NBL history. They've won 10 titles, but you're right. The last time was in 2020, and they did have that that amazing playoff appearance run snapped. So in the last 4 years, so they're certainly not the juggernaut franchise. I still hold them at the highest of standards. I still hold them as the gold standard, as I coined. And I still think they're a huge threat to win the championship. I've got enormous amount of respect and time for John Riley as a player, as a coach, and as a person. I always have had. I'm very confident in him, and he's an absolute gym rat. He's one of the smartest guys I know. And I just think that given good health, given if Winler, turns into Chris Gent, who was outstanding in his time before he ended up in the NBA as a coach, if Elijah Pepper can step up and knock down some threes, and Almansa can give them productive minutes, they are, and Ty Webster, can be his kind of creative self, and obviously a lot's going to rely on Keanu Pinder as well. They're a team that can challenge for a championship. I probably have them at an 8, maybe an 8.5 as far as the confidence level goes.
Mike, I think it's massive pressure on Perth this season. And I think Matty's summed it up in the sense that I think their defence has been well below what the flag-bearing, benchmark has been for that club for a long time in the last four seasons. And for mine, that's what will define this season is can they rediscover that identity on the defensive end? And I think if they can, and the as Matty said, the likes of Pepper and the young next are coming through, if they can add some layers, and I think, Keanu Pinder can be fit. Like, if he gets injured, I think they're in trouble. But defense for mine is the key for Perth to really contend with Sydney and Melbourne. Because so far I've got Sydney and Melbourne, like 1-2, whatever order you want to put it in, Sydney, Melbourne. And then I got Perth. But for Perth to really take that next step and silence some of these critics from the last couple of years and keep their fans and the multitude of fans happy, then they've got to find a defensive grit again. Because they've got the talent. You've got Bryce Cotton, you've got Webster on his day, Doolittle. I mean, Matt's right, he's a great return. If Pinder's fit. And they've recruited, their depth is decent. Ben Henschel, I hope he gets, a few more minutes this season, and we get to see he's got some, high potential, and people got big raps on him. But for mine, and the Red Army won't like it, they've got to prove to me that they can defend against the good teams for me to say that they're a true contender.
I'm in a similar boat to you, Matty Loke. And that's where I have the call of welcome to your championship, Sydney's Qdos Bank Arena Game 1, Sydney Kings v Melbourne United. It's because of that with the Perth Wildcats. And it's not the first time that the Perth fans will be upset at me. I'm sure it won't be the last this year. But I say this when it comes to the Perth Wildcats. They've won three championships with Bryce Cotton. They've won two of them on the floor, and one of them, as I said, in 2020, didn't come on the floor. But it would have, let's be real. They were going to win that series. We're coming into now 5 years on since that championship. You've got everything now that you could possibly ask for. You've got the coach. You've got the team. You've got the pieces in place. You've got now a WA local majority owner who's grown up as a Wildcats fan. You've got everything you could possibly ask for. If it's not going to happen now, when's it going to happen for the Wildcats? What else could they possibly get at this point? I honestly don't know. It seems like all the pieces are there. Yet I look at them and I look at Melbourne and Sydney and I still just can't put them ahead of either of those two teams at the moment. If you look at what the Perth Wildcats have put together this year, absolutely they should be winning a championship. This is a team that should be very hungry to win a championship because like Melbourne, Perth let one go last year in that semi-final series against Tasmania. They make it to the title bout against Melbourne. Who knows what happens from there? Bryce Cotton, as I look at him now, 32 years of age. How many more championships are you going to win with Bryce? If not now, when? Manny McQuaid, I don't know if you share that sentiment or not, but I feel like all the pieces are in place. What more could you possibly need?
They've recruited very well, there's no doubt. And you're right. And with Bryce, I mean, it just seems like he's going to go on forever, but of course that's not the case. And, he's one injury, as we've seen, when he's been hurt in the past. And I've often said, I mean, he played 37 minutes a game last year. That 37 minutes, that's just way too much. And I think, you know, John has got to find a way to get him more rest. Now, it's easier said than done, and I've said that as well. You could say that if they've got a weakness, it's kind of like the Kings in that they're a little thin up front, and there is a lot riding on Keanu Pinder, as Matty talked about. That's one thing. I mean, look, there's an expectation on this club every year, isn't there? It's just the way it is. It's what they've built ever since our friend Cal Bruton, you know, walked in all those years ago in 1987 and transformed the whole thing and changed really everything, changed life for that franchise. So there's been that level of expectation every single year with this club. And especially now when you've got just a generational talent in Bryce Cotton, one of the greatest players that's ever played in this country without a shadow of a doubt. And, you know, what you want to do is build around him. And I think this year they've done a very good job in doing that. You know, I think they've had their ups and downs with recruiting, but I like what they've done overall. And again, yeah, there's a little bit of an X factor about it. And that's our Mansour. He's got a hit. If he hits, then they're going to be really tough to beat. We know that generally speaking, it's a, you know, the RSC Arena is a fortress, even though you could make the argument the previous years it hasn't, recent years rather, it hasn't been. They want to get back to that. They want, you know, 13,000 screaming crazy people dressed in red, booing the hell out of the officials, and I'm, you know, and booing the hell out of the opposition club, and making life as difficult as they can for who they consider to be interlopers in Western Australia. So, yeah, I mean, I just think it's a yearly thing. But I think, you know, I'm really, you know, excited about the new ownership group. I think the, you know, particularly the majority owner, whose name escapes me. It's my old age catching up to me. But
Mark Arena.
Look, I think, yeah, there you go. Yeah, thank you. It was on the tip of my tongue. Look, I think that's great. I think it's something that was needed. Look, he's a very successful businessman, obviously, but has that great love of the Wildcats, much the same way as Jack Bendat did, God rest his soul. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's the pressure's on, definitely. And look, they know it. You know, I'm sure, you know, John really knows it. I mean, the pressure's, like, there's been Wildcat fans calling for his head, you know, ever since he got there practically. So the pressure's going to be on to deliver a championship, no doubt.
For mine, I've got them as the 3 seed. My confidence is at 8, 8.5. They'll have a big year. You'd expect them to have a big year. The big watch always is Bryce Cotton. But it does feel like for Perth, if not now, when's it going to be? The stars really seem to have aligned now. You've got everything you could possibly want. Go get it done. That's the speech. Go get it done, Perth Wildcats.